Brilliant. Well, good morning. It is a pleasure to be here with you all this morning. As Dad mentioned earlier, Ben, his son, just if you're new here and you don't necessarily know who that is or why, he was saying that it's a second chance for God to see if he can get it right this time. I'm his son. Currently, I'm up in Brisbane, so I've been very thankful. Yeah, the Victoria has put on a relatively warm weekend for me. I was nervous when I knew I was coming back in April because I was really unsure what I was going to get. We all know April can be volatile. It can be very cold or it can be relatively warm, but I'm glad that I've got the good weather. I'm still wearing a long sleeve, though, because it's early in the morning here, and I know Ballarat takes a little bit of time to warm up, but we're not going to take any time to warm up, so I'm just going to get straight into it. See, when I was 18, I was getting towards the end of year 12 and I was trying to figure out what was I going to do with my life. You know, I know for many of us, we've been at that stage in our life. What am I going to do with my life? And if you'd asked me during the middle of year 12, what do you want to do with your life? I would have said, I'm going to be a physio. Now, the reason for this was because I'd always wanted to be an elite athlete, but I never got into any of those development squads. And I thought the next best thing is to work with elite athletes. So I'll be a physio and I'll work for the Hawthorn Football Club, be a part of their premiership winning campaign, make sure they get the best treatment that they can possibly get so they can perform at their best level. Unfortunately, I did not apply myself at all during year 12 and I didn't even get close. Didn't even get close to what I needed for an ATAR score to be able to do physio. So I went and finished year 12 and thought, I don't really know what I'm going to do with my life. And I thought, what better place to figure out what I'm going to do with my life than schoolies? You know, a place where all the best decisions are made. But I want you to know my schoolies was a little bit different. Firstly, I can remember the whole thing. Secondly, my schoolies involved going to Indonesia. A bit different. With my dad. No, it gets better. And the CEO of Churches of Christ, Victoria and Tasmania. So a real wild adventure, you know, just a whole lot of like, you know, adventures and going to all these different places. And by different places, I mean churches, Bible colleges, you know, just really adventurous stuff. But while I was over there, it was a fantastic time. You know, we can put some photos up on the screen, hopefully. There's me with one of the locals enjoying a pizza. Again, sorry for the hair, it's disgusting. You can see why I didn't make it as a physio. But, you know, enjoying pizza because I wasn't having chicken and rice, and I think there should be another one. Yeah, there's me, Dad, the CEO of Churches of Christ Victoria and Tasmania, sightseeing a church. Like I said, really wild schoolies. But while I was over there, I was just exploring and engaging, thinking, this is awesome. I mean, I really loved it. I love getting up here and speaking to people, and so I loved doing that over there. I loved being able to work with my dad and do some preaching and see him preaching and speaking into some Bible colleges. But not once did I ever feel like I was on that time or on that trip and feel like I am called to be a missionary. Not once. I was never like, yes, I want to come back here and just devote my life to doing this. And in fact, I'd been to Thailand 2 years earlier and I've been involved in helping build a dormitory for some boys and doing a whole bunch of that. I actually did that trip with a group here from One to One. You know, it was a fantastic time as well. Again, my heart was touched. Everything was just so life-giving and I was so in awe of how they lived their lives and their relationship with Jesus. But not once did I ever think, I want to come back here and give my life to see this happen. I thought, how can I get us in Australia to finally realize what we need, to have what these guys have, who have nothing yet seem to have so much more than what we have? That was kind of my experience. And so not once did I ever feel like I was called to be a missionary. And because of that, I decided by age 18 I was never going to be a missionary. And that meant that any time we were talking about mission at church, I wasn't listening. I was like, you know what, I know that's not for me. So I'm just going to get on my phone and pretend like I'm on the Bible app when really I'm on Facebook or Instagram. You know, I'm on something else because I know that that's not for me. But it was probably when I left York Street just 2 years ago that something really challenged my thinking around this whole idea of, you know, being on mission. It was when they were praying for me and, you know, they were using all these words like, we just want to send you with God's blessing. We're sending you to Brisbane. And I was like, what? I don't understand this. Because any time I'd heard that sort of language was around, you know, we're sending you to Thailand, we're sending you to Kenya, we're sending you to this people group. And so for me, I really felt challenged by this whole idea of, What do they mean and what does it look like if I'm being sent to a similar people group? I went from doing youth and young adults to doing youth in the same country, same socioeconomic status, same very similar context. How am I being sent to this group of people? What does it look like for me to be sent? And maybe you're here this morning and you would be very similar to me. You might have just sort of had that experience where you've been on a mission trip, you've gone overseas, you know, you felt like God called you to go and serve a people group for a short period of time, but you very clearly realized that mission wasn't necessarily what you were called to. And maybe you're thinking very similar to how I thought, mission in the sense of going overseas to another people group, going to a specific location, to a specific group of people and spending your time there. But most of us here would probably say that we're not in that, we're not called to do that. Probably because we're sitting here in church in Ballarat on a Sunday morning. You know, we're not necessarily overseas in the Philippines or over in Indonesia or up in, you know, far north Queensland with the indigenous people. We're not necessarily feeling like we're missionaries, not feeling like we're sent to a specific group of people. And for some of us, you might even already be struggling not to switch off because you feel like I'm doing the mission talk. You're like, all right, here we go, the mission talk again. Here's why we need to do mission. Thanks, cool. I'll switch off. But maybe some of you even are actually sitting here this morning because you feel like God is actually slowly calling you to mission. You felt like there's been a call on your heart. There's been a people group that you are connected to that you feel like God wants you to go and invest in them. Well, wherever you are here this morning, I want us to be people who really think about this question of what does it mean for us to be sent people? What does it mean for us who were saved to be sent? What does that look like? What's the purpose for it? Why does God invite us to do this? And so as part of that, what I want us to do is we're going to turn today into the story of Abraham to see how God involves us in this idea of being sent people. So if you will, you can turn with me to Genesis chapter 11, verses 31 to 32, and then we're going to read into chapter 12, verses 1 to 4 as well, but we just need those first couple of verses. So Genesis 11, 31 to 32, hopefully it'll be on the screen. Oh, perfect, look at that, great. It says this, it says, Terah took his son Abram, who eventually became Abraham, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law, Sarah, the wife of his son Abram. And together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Terah lived 205 years, and he died in Haran. Then instantaneously, the next verse, it says this, the Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all people on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. Now, before we go any further, just for a little bit of background context around verses, chapter 11, verses 31 to 32, it says this in Joshua chapter 24, 2. It says this, Joshua said to all the people, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago, your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates River and worshipped other gods. Which is why those last few verses before we hear about Abraham's call, how God's going to bless him and make him a great nation, are so important for us to understand. Sometimes the Bible does us a disservice by being in those chapters because we read a chapter and go, perfect, done, close it. Then we read chapter 12 the next day and forget about those last two verses in chapter 11. But what you see is this. Abraham's dad worshipped other gods. So Abraham would have been brought up worshipping other gods. So while in this little passage we've seen the background is that they're linking Abraham to Noah so that when we find him in his current location, we realize he's a part of Noah's journey and the lineage of Noah, but we realize that his current family experience is not one of passionately following Jesus, passionately not following Yahweh. It's not about passionately following following God. Rather, he was brought up to worship other gods. And so we see that we hear about Terah's life and about how Abraham moved. You finish that one sentence, and then the next thing that happens is that the Lord has spoken to Abraham, telling him to leave his family and telling him to move to another country and telling him that he's going to make him into a great nation. It's a super sharp transition. Imagine you're reading it without the chapters, how it would have originally been written. There would have been no chapters. It is a sharp transition. One of them that we're told as communicators, you just don't do because you can lose people. You just lose people. But often we do it if you want to try and juxtapose something, contrast what's happening. And so we see that Abraham has gone from worshiping other gods to having an experience of God the Most High. And what's really interesting about this is that God hasn't chosen Abraham because he is in the lineage of great spiritual people. He doesn't have a great father. He doesn't have a great understanding of faith, but God has chosen him. And Abraham has a very early faith. In fact, he may have only just even found faith in God while God is sharing these exact truths and this promise to him. And so what I love about this is that this isn't a man of strong spiritual heritage. This isn't a man with years of faith. This is a man who has begun discovering God and is invited to be used by God immediately. He's only just discovered God, and yet he's been invited to be used by God immediately. And so what we see is that Abraham was saved and sent. There wasn't a training period. It wasn't after a certain number of years. It wasn't after theological training. Abraham was brought into relationship with God and was then sent. And this isn't just a principle that we see in the life of Abraham. See, we see it throughout the Bible time and time again. See, there's these people who had a certain understanding of God in his Jewish context, but who weren't people of strong spiritual heritage. They weren't sons of rabbis or Pharisees. Rather, they were people who were fishermen, people who were tax collectors. And yet, these are the people that Jesus chose to journey with. And we see that time and time again, the disciples misunderstand who Jesus was. You know, you hear the classic story of the sons of Zebedee being like, hey, let's go burn that city to the ground. We'll call down fire and lightning. Jesus is like, no, guys, that's not what I'm on about. They misunderstand who Jesus is. They're not perfect. They're not the smartest guys. They don't have the best spiritual heritage. And yet we see after Jesus dies, when they think we attached our lives to another failed Messiah, but when Jesus rises again, he comes to them, he meets with them, and he says this. He says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, which is Jesus sending them out. See, the disciples are saved and sent. The two go hand in hand. They happen simultaneously. And for each and every single one of us, we need to understand this in our lives. If you are sitting here this morning and we are saved, you would say, you know what? I follow Jesus. I'm in a saving relationship with him. He has forgiven me of my sins. I walk closely with him. That is the Lord of my life right there. Then you are saved and you are sent. It's the first thing you need to understand. All who are saved are sent. All of us, every single one of us, are sent by God to people. Now, we'll unpack who these people are, but all of us here, if you follow Jesus, are saved and are sent. There's not one of us who is excluded from this call. All who are saved are sent. And there is very good reason for this. See, as we go back to Genesis 12, we see in verse 13, it says, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. All the people on earth will be blessed through you. See, this idea of others being blessed through Abraham and his family is attached to Abraham going to this new land. Abraham has to realize that he is sent to a new location, to a new people group, to a new place to live, and that as he goes there, not only will he be blessed, but the nations around him will be blessed through him. And this is the truth. God blesses the nations by sending us to them. And it makes sense, doesn't it? We wouldn't expect the nation of Afghanistan to be saved by us staying here in Ballarat. They wouldn't experience the blessing of the church here if we stayed here. We couldn't expect to see the nation of Australia saved if we stayed just in Ballarat. Imagine if the first church, you know, say it was built in Melbourne, just decided, yeah, that's enough. The nation of Australia would not hear the good news of Jesus if we weren't sent to them. My church up in Queensland, we're currently at the moment planting campuses just around Brisbane because we realize the same principle. While we feel called to be a church that saves and impacts the city of Brisbane, we live in this suburb called Mackenzie. And, you know, Brisbane's a nice big city. Everyone fights over the river, the north side and the south side. And, you know, we're in Mackenzie, but we realize that we are not going to effectively reach the people of Ormo if we stay in Mackenzie. So we have a campus in Ormo. We realize we're not going to effectively reach the people of the city if we stay in Mackenzie. So we're planning a campus in the city. And so for each and every single one of us here, we have to think about the fact that we are all sent to different locations, but that we have to be people who are sent and are a blessing so that the nation around us here in Australia can experience the goodness of Jesus in their life. Even more importantly, though, is the fact that Jesus followed this principle. Jesus himself embodied it. If you think about it, Jesus was sent from heaven to earth to be a blessing to everyone. See, we wouldn't have been able to experience the blessing of being in relationship with God, of experiencing his presence in our life, if Jesus hadn't been sent. If Jesus had never been willing to go from heaven to earth to be a living sacrifice for us, then we would have never been able to have our sins forgiven, to have God's presence in our lives, to be a saved people in the first place. See, God knew this principle, that you have to be a sent people. You have to be sent to people so that you can be a blessing to them. And Jesus blessed us immensely by being a sent person, by realizing I need to be sent from heaven to earth to impact this world. And see, you guys have even experienced this here in this church. See, if Dad, his boss, the CEO, and myself had not gone to Indonesia on that trip, you know, 10 years ago, the partnership that exists between this church and that Bible college wouldn't have happened. There would be no partnership. There would be no, you know, is it Daniel who's coming in a couple of weeks? He wouldn't be coming over here to share because there wouldn't be an existing relationship. The Bible College of Indonesia that is doing such a fantastic job planting so many churches so that they can see the nation of Indonesia one for Jesus would not be blessed the way that they are by this church community, just as you would not be blessed by knowing the difference that is being made over there by your investment in them if people weren't willing to be sent. But not just sent over there for a holiday, but sent to be a blessing. And so for all of us, we have to realize that all who are saved are sent, but we're sent for a very particular purpose, to be a blessing to the nation around us. This isn't, though, where the lesson ends. See, when we think about being sent, and I still think that one of the last mindsets that we have is that we are sent to a specific group of people. You know, like many people think, I'm called to serve youth, which I am at the moment. I really hope I'm not when I'm 50 because I'm sure they'll drive me insane. It's already getting a little ridiculous. You know, I'm 11 years older than the oldest kid in my youth ministry, and I feel so irrelevant. You know, like, it's a nightmare. I thought I was young and cool, and I'm already feel like I'm over the hill. So I want to get out of youth ministry so I can feel like I've still got it, you know? Like, I feel like I'm still relevant. I still know what's going on. But people feel like they're called in those ways. So people feel like I'm called to youth ministry. Others think that they're called to serve people in Indonesia. But that isn't necessarily all of it. See, if you look again at verse 1, it says that God will take him to the land that he will show him. It doesn't say God will take him to a specific geographic location. But what's happened is when we read this verse, that God will take him to a land, we read it through our fantastic, you know, blessed Western eyes, where we tend to be a people group who go to a location, build a home, take on a ridiculous amount of, you know, mortgage debt, you know, and then try and pay it off for the rest of our lives and stay in a specific location. You know, we don't move that often, you know, every few years maybe. Some people don't even move at all. I know that there's potentially people in this room who have lived in the same house their whole entire lives. But Abraham, he wasn't about that life. See, Abraham was a nomadic shepherd. I know, everyone would love to have that as their job title, wouldn't you? Some of you here are sitting, man, love to be a nomadic shepherd. You wouldn't. It was the worst. Seriously, all they did was wander around in the desert with their sheep. Sounds like the worst thing ever. I was obviously never made to do that as a job. You know, I've got my product in my hair, I've got my cologne on, I've cut my nails. And in fact, I hate getting dirt under my nails. So like I pick it out. Maybe it's because I'm married now and my wife's just changed me a little bit. You know, I'm like, oh, that's gross. Get that out. Imagine that. I would have never made it as a nomadic shepherd. But that is exactly what Abraham was doing with his life. And so what that meant was that Abraham didn't stay in one location. They were regularly moving. See, you can see it here. There's this couple of different verses. In Genesis 13:18, it says that Abraham is found at the great trees of Mamre at Hebron. And then we see a little bit later in chapter 14, verse 13, that it says again that Abraham is back at the great trees of Mamre at Hebron. And then in Genesis 18:1, guess where Abraham is? That's right, the great trees of Mamre at Hebron. Now, if we look elsewhere, if you were to go through that little gambit, you can see that Abraham also lived elsewhere during those times. He didn't just stay at those trees. And in fact, it's pretty clear if the author's telling us again and again and again. If you ever read a biography, they're not regularly updating where they're living unless they've changed location. It's the same in here. Abraham has changed location and he's come back to this location three separate times. So we can see it's pretty clear that the author is telling us that Abraham moved around. See, Abraham wasn't moving to a promised plot of land. Abraham was moving to an area of land that he roamed through. And this is why it's so important. See, Abraham's context was constantly changing. Constantly changing. And it's something that most of us will likely have experienced in our lives. 2 years ago, I had my first move interstate. It was pretty crazy, you know, doing the whole thing. See your mum and dad. Left my girlfriend at the time, then my fiance. She was back here in Victoria. I moved up there. And I was, you know, trying to settle in and try and find a new people group, a new bunch of people to, you know, be a part of my life and for me to be a part of theirs. And for all of us, we're going to have those sort of experiences in our life. Some of you have moved here to Ballarat. Some of you have left Ballarat and come home. And do you know what's crazy? My generation and younger, the statistics say that they will have multiple careers, some people projecting up to 7 different careers, and that they'll study and go to university or TAFE or whatever the future of education looks like 3 times. See, gone are the days where people will stay in the same career from when they're 16 until they retire, which for my generation will probably be 87, you know, fingers crossed. We get there. But our context is going to be continually changing, just like Abraham's context is going to be changing. This doesn't just mean physical location. I mean, some of you have done the whole journey of going from being married to being a parent to being just, you know, empty nesters. Some of you have changed career, you've changed jobs. All of these things are a different context. And yet Abraham, while he was traveling around, continued to have the same purpose. So while Abraham's context was changing, his purpose stayed the same. And Abraham's purpose was to be a blessing to the nations around him. All the nations will be blessed through you. That was his purpose. To go and be a blessing to the nations. His context was the land that God would lead him to. And so for each and every single one of us, this is what we have to get our heads around. For many of us, we confuse being people who were sent to a specific location. But the truth is that all of us who are saved are sent to be a blessing in whatever context we find ourselves in. Whatever context. Maybe that's the context is Indonesia or China or outback Australia. Maybe the context is just in your university or at your job or at your home. Whatever it is, your purpose is still the same, to be a blessing to the nations. What you're trying to figure out is your context. See, if you follow Jesus, this is something that is really profound and really exciting. It gives everything and everywhere you go a newfound purpose. See, anytime you go to work, you might be struggling with a sense of purpose in your job. Maybe you're doing accounting or you're in a law firm or Maybe you're just working part-time at a coffee shop or whatever. But whatever it is, maybe there's just moments where you struggle to find a sense of purpose in it. Go, why am I here? What am I doing what I'm doing? And sometimes I just would rather be anywhere else, you know, all of us. And at some time or other feels that way about our job. But when you see this and you understand this, everywhere you go and everything you do has a newfound sense of purpose. See, when you go to work tomorrow morning, you now go not just realizing the title of your job and the specifics of your role, but you now have a new purpose to be a blessing to everyone who is in that context, because that is where God has called you to. That is who God has placed you to be a blessing to. There's a newfound sense of purpose. Oh, hello. Oh, I'm back. Good. Maybe for some of you here, you got a part-time job or you're working a couple of jobs. Maybe for some of you here, you are, you know, you're a parent home. That's just what you're called to in this season. Whatever it is, you are called to be a blessing to every single person who is in that context. And it's an incredible encouragement to every single person, because you don't have to wait for Sunday to be a blessing. You have to wait for the moment you get to pray for someone. You don't have to wait for the moment that, you know, you're helping out at youth or you're helping out at kids or you're on the worship team. You can be a blessing to other people in a whole variety of different ways. Whether it's just being that gentle listening ear, you know, when they're going through some stuff in your coworker's life. Whether it's being someone who is able to just see a need in someone else's life. You know, there's a parent that also has a kid in your year level and, you know, you're like, man, I just see something going on there, and you just get around them, you support them, you bless them. All of these different environments and contexts have a new sense of purpose about them. And I think that's how God wants us to live our lives. See, God doesn't just want us to live Monday 9 till 5 separate from Him so that we can come and be a blessing on Sunday. God wants us to realize that we have been saved for a purpose, and that purpose is to be sent and to be a blessing to others. And I really do believe that this is something God wants us to do. And I believe that it is going to have a profound impact. See, I was talking with my dad on the drive down here, and he was helping me understand just some of the incredible things that have been happening at this church. You know, you guys are currently a church of, you know, almost 500 on a Sunday, you know, averaging pretty close to that, which is amazing. You know, so you're probably a church potentially of 650 to 700 people who would come through these doors in a month. That's incredible. But have you ever thought about the impact that you guys could have? The impact that this church can really have in the community around us if we decided that One-to-One was going to be a church full of people who were sent to be a blessing in every context that they found themselves in. So I did some quick maths, pretty basic maths. I'm not a maths whiz like some other people, so just bear with me. It's pretty simplistic. But let's just say there's 500 people here today, right? And each of you, through the week, over 7 days, probably connect or interact with up to 50 other people. Now, that's pretty conservative. That's 7 unique people a day. You know, it's not anything too crazy. But you would have the ability each week to connect with and potentially be a blessing to up to 25,000 people each week. 25,000 people. Now, I don't know the updated figures of Ballarat's population, but just before I left, it was maybe 110,000. You guys are looking at being able to bless literally 1/5 of the community each week. Imagine the impact that One-to-One could have if we truly lived as sent blessing people to whatever context we were. Imagine what we would hear. What if we brought faith to that? Imagine hearing, people just experiencing the goodness of that. You know, maybe just seeing people having their lives changed by us determining to live a sent life. You know, imagine seeing the University of Ballarat, what's it called now, Federation Uni. Imagine seeing that place change because the university students, the young adults in this church, decided to be people who would bless others. You know, stepping out in faith, sharing Jesus, helping the person who's been behind because of personal issues, stepping out in faith, starting a prayer group, but just being a blessing in their context. Imagine seeing that university change to no longer being a place that just has a little bit of a Christian presence, but is flooded with the blessing of the Christian faith. Imagine if you would see places of employment change as they saw each one of us being a blessing to everyone there. Again, stepping out in faith, caring for those in need, being someone who people go, man, I'm so glad They work here. They're such a blessing, man. You know, like, they're so great around people. Everyone loves them. They care for people. They love people. Imagine that being the reputation. Imagine if the church in Ballarat was recognized and remembered for what it was for the difference that it made, the blessing it truly was, rather than always being remembered for what it's against. Imagine the difference that could be made if we decided to live that way. See, each of us would then have the privilege of seeing God use us to lead others into a relationship with Him by stepping out in faith. And I tell you what, there is no greater joy as a Christian than to see someone that we live, work, or laugh with come to faith in Jesus for the first time. There is a uniquely profound joy in that. And I genuinely would love for every single one of us in this room at some point in our life to experience that joy. And it'll happen if we choose to be people who recognize that we're saved and that we're sent to be a blessing in whatever context we find ourselves in. And I genuinely believe in the potential that is in this room here at One to One. I know that God has saved each and every single one of you with a really clear purpose in mind. He's placed you in specific locations. He's put specific people around you because you are the person best equipped to bless them. And when you start thinking about your life like that, I think it just carries so much more weight and so much more purpose. And so what I want us to do as we finish is I'm just going to ask us to just close our eyes and just bow our heads and just spend a little bit of time right now just asking God to speak to us about who it is in our life, where it is in our life, that we can go and be a really profound blessing to them, to those people, and so that we can see the kingdom of God come in those places, see lives changed, people find purpose, and people be saved, because that is what God has called us to do. So would you join with me as we just sit in a moment? I'm just going to lead this. Just as your eyes are closed right now, I just want you to just spend a moment. Just ask God and go, God, where is it in my life that you want me to go and be a blessing? Just spend a moment just listening to Him. Where is it? Whether it's at work or at home, maybe like a sporting group, a social group that you're a part of. Just ask Him and just listen for a moment right now. Hopefully you've just got something or a place in your head. I just want us to get a little bit more specific. So just ask God, God, is there a person in particular in this place where, you know, God just prompted you, whether it was at home or at work or wherever, is there a specific person that this week I could be a blessing, where I could be a blessing in their life? Just ask God and see if He'll just prompt a specific person in your mind or in your heart. And then just spend a moment just asking God to make it really clear when the opportunity will present itself for you to just bless that person. And we'll just thank Him for that in His name, your name, Jesus. Amen. The reason I wanted to do that is because we just want to make it really simple for you guys. Like, sometimes we can feel overwhelmed, you know, I was like 50 people, and like, that's crazy. But really, this week, just think about potentially that one place and that one person that you can be a blessing to. It just starts with one small step, but it could make a really profound difference. And so what I'd love to do is just pray for you right now before we get into this last song, and then we'll finish up. But Lord, I just want to thank you for each person in this room. And Lord, I want to thank you for the fact that you have saved them and that you have sent them to be a blessing to the nations. And Lord, I just want to thank you for the places that they find themselves in, Lord, whether that's at home, whether that's at work, whether that's in just some social groups that they're a part of. But Lord, I pray that you would equip them and empower them to go and be a blessing wherever they are. And Lord, I pray that this week, as they've just spent some time thinking about where you may have called them and who you may want them to be a blessing to this week, Lord, I pray that you would give them courage. Lord, I pray that you would give them awareness. And Lord, I pray that they would be a blessing wherever they may find themselves. In your name we pray. Amen.